What's your favorite horror film? Do you enjoy a typical slasher like Halloween, or maybe you like a horror comedy like Child's Play? Perhaps you like an older classic horror film like Dracula or Godzilla. No matter your taste in horror films, whether you're a diehard fan or a bit opposed to the genre, horror is a great way to get into the spooky mood. Hi, I'm Andy Ace of KBPS Portland, and that's what I'm here to talk about. When most people think of horror, they think of splatterfests, only suitable for a certain group of people. But when done right, horror is a genre for everyone. In my opinion, there are some great children's horror films and books if you know where to look. Family-friendly horror has existed for a while, but it became most popular with children and preteens of the 90s. Children of the 90s may remember sitting down for shows such as Goosebumps, based on the Tales from the Book series by R.L. Stein. The NBC series Eerie Indiana.
My name is Marshall Teller. Not long ago, I was living in New Jersey, just across the river from New York City. It was crowded, polluted, and full of crime. I loved it.
Or the Nickelodeon series, Are You Afraid of the Dark? As you get older, you may disregard children's horror out of the genre completely, but I believe that not only does children's horror encourage young readers with book series such as Goosebumps and Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark, but it's a great way to introduce young people to the horror genre in a family-friendly way. But if you want family-friendly horror that's a bit more serious in tone, I recommend some of the older classics. Horror films in general really had their first heyday during the golden age of film from the 1920s to the 1950s, with classic Universal horror films like Frankenstein.
Oh, it's alive! It's alive! It's alive! It's alive!
Or older Japanese kaiju films like Godzilla. In my opinion, what older horror films lack in modern technology and writing, they make up for in charm and captivating story. If you like horror but don't like gore or jump scares, classic horror might be for you. Now, if you want horror but you might not enjoy the more serious tones of classic horror, a horror comedy might be your type. Horror comedy might be a favorite of mine, combining two completely different genres and blending them into one that works surprisingly well. Some of my favorite examples of mine are Child's Play.
Where's Grandma?
In the cellar.
What's she doing down there?
Nothing.
Or A Nightmare on Elm Street.
I'll get you, my pretty, and your little soul, too!
So, whether it be the light themes of children's horror, the serious yet captivating horror classics, or a lighthearted and campy horror comedy, horror can be a genre for just about anyone if you know where to look. Once again, this is Andy Ace of KVPS Portland. Thank you for listening.
Hello, everybody. It's the Halloween season, and you know what that means? It is time for candy. Venom, calm down. It's my podcast, remember? You're supposed to not be talking.
Yeah, but we would like to interject every now and then. With an alien's opinion. People need that these days.
Well, I guess that's fine. Well, everybody, say hello to my buddy Venom, who's joining me on this podcast for today, even though he wasn't supposed to.
Ah, hello, humans. It's good to be speaking to you today.
To start off, Halloween has been a staple of our society for a while, filled with scares, fun, and the subject for today, candy. Halloween candy is something everybody loves, walking around and grabbing all that delicious candy.
Yeah, that stuff tastes great. Chocolate anything is where it is at.
Venom.
Oh, sorry.
Anyway, back on topic, there's always been something special about candy and the activity of getting it. I remember when I was younger, I was so unbelievably excited to start hunting for candy in my neighborhood. Although, I didn't really keep most of it. I mostly ate the Hershey's.
Oh yeah, Hershey's. That stuff is the best, ain't it?
Yes, it is Venom. Now, as I was saying, I usually only ate the Hershey's, but all of the other candy I would give to the Switch Witch, which was my parents, but it's like how we all believed in Santa at one point.
I can't believe you would fall for something so obvious. That's not hard to figure out.
Cut me some slack. They were pretty convincing. We all believed silly stuff like that when we were kids.
You humans. So easy to convince.
Yeah, whatever, man. What's your opinion on Halloween anyway, Venom? Sure, the audience would love to hear an alien's opinion.
Well, if you say so. We don't quite understand the fascination. We just enjoy the candy, but we can understand the fun that it brings, even though we don't see a point to it.
Wow, for an alien that was pretty insightful.
Hey, our mental capacity is much greater than yours. You couldn't even handle half the stuff a symbiote's process all the time.
We've had this conversation already, Venom. Anyway, I should probably mention what the Switch Witch was exactly. It was basically something my parents made up to keep me from eating all the candy, and we would trade the candy for toys, movies, etc. Basically just stuff me and my brother liked. I don't really know what my parents did with the candy after. I'm pretty sure they would just give it away to people in our neighborhood.
Should have given it to us.
You weren't around at this time in my life, Venom.
True, but now we can eat the leftovers for us.
I guess you can.
Now for Halloween. What if this year we scare some people with our looks?
I'm not sure they would like to see an alien walking around.
We'll just say it's a costume. A really convincing one.
Huh. I guess that can work. Yeah, we'll try that.
Nice. Well, that's about the end, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty much. Thank you to y'all for listening to this little podcast of ours. And have a wonderful time this Halloween and eat all that candy you'll be getting. And we'll speak to you next time. Bye.
Bye, you silly humans.
Do you ever feel like there's not enough good Halloween music? Hello, I'm Grady, and I know I have. So I think you can imagine my excitement when I found a Halloween album that I absolutely loved. And now I want to introduce that album to you. So, in this podcast, I will be talking about Musical Scares by Fries on the Side. This is actually Fries on the Side's first album. Up until this, they had only been releasing singles, and I think they did a great job, especially for their first album. Now for the meat of the podcast, the songs. I picked out three of my favorites in the album, these being Trick or Treat, Boo, with 3 exclamation marks, and Freaky Deaky Castle. I'm sure you can already tell, but this album is supposed to be goofy and poke fun at a lot of tropes, which I think makes it just that much better. The first of my three favorite songs, Trick or Treat, is also the first song on the album. It works really great as an opening song. It ropes you in with the humor almost immediately and sets the tone perfectly. The way they name off characters that people may use as costumes is one of my favorite parts of the song. They just throw in some strange or random costumes and I find that really funny.
Dinosaur. Firefighter. Dumbledore. Giant spider.
The second of my three favorite songs is Boo, and like Trick or Treat, it happens to be the second song in the album. The song is important to the album because it's the only one that got a music video, which, by the way, is a great music video and really adds to the humor. They're able to make so many visual jokes you just can't do in music. But even without the video, the song is still amazing. They convey the goofiness of the ghost perfectly, especially with its description at the start of the song.
It's like 1 meter tall. It looks exactly like a bedsheet on a basketball.
By far, my favorite part of the song, though, is when the ghost summons a skeleton.
And it's time to unleash a new evil like this world has never seen.
In walks a skeleton. The dead rises tonight. Its bones rattling a symphony of death and demise. It has no eyes. It's walking all on its own. It promptly trips over the scooter chair and breaks all of its bones.
Now, the third and final of my three favorite songs is Freaky Deaky Castle. This song is my favorite for a few reasons, the biggest of which being that I find its concept really funny. It's about a vampire who has too many rooms in his castle just collecting dust, so he decides to start renting them out online and lure people in to drink their blood. What makes the song even better is that, at least in my opinion, all the jokes land.
Please come and stay in this majestic mansion, which is nestled in the beautiful cliffs of Doom Canyon. My thirst grows worse, put up the ad. We got bats, and that's right, more bats. Do not rent to scare me.
Listening to the album, I can really tell that Fries on the Side love Halloween, and made the album out of love for the holiday. Once again, it's Musical Scares by Fries on the Side. I hope you enjoyed these songs as much as I do. You can find all the full songs on wherever you get your music. I would highly recommend that you go listen to them. I'm Grady, and thank you for listening to my Halloween podcast.
My name's Jeff, and I'm here to help you dress well and be happy on Halloween. To start off with the dressing well part, always wear pants. I know some costumes don't have pants, like, oh, you're a princess or something, or you're Spider-Man. Put on some pants, please. Not just because it's really cold, but also because it's really cold, right? We don't want you freezing. You don't want to be uncomfortable. Plus, pants have pockets. You can put like candy in them. You can put like your phone in them so your parents know where you are. You can put anything you want in there, right? The next tip, make sure you always carry your prop in one hand. Make sure it's not a two-handed prop, because if it's requiring two hands, what are you going to hold the candy in, right? And those candy bags can get really, really heavy too. So you got to keep that in mind. Parents, please make sure you have some way of tracking your child, even if you're with them at all times. You can buy an AirTag or a Cube thing, or some, even most little phones have trackers, right? You want to be able to track your child because you can't rely on your child having a unique costume. I have seen it multiple times where a parent will be like, oh, I'm looking for my son, he's in a dinosaur costume, and there's 30 kids with a dinosaur costume. So make sure you have a tracker in your kid's like shoe or pocket or around their neck. You can get like little lanyards and stuff, right? Now, I made sure to ask some of my classmates some of their favorite tricks, and here's their response.
And my name is Louis.
I'm going to be asking Louis here a few questions about his favorite trick-or-treating tips.
Well, it's like, just for one, like, have fun and be sure to look where you're going when you cross roads, because I've almost been hit like by just people like speeding down like neighborhood roads, just being careless. So you have to be aware of that these days.
Definitely. I've also found that wearing reflective stuff helps. So like, you, if your costume has like a, you know, like reflective tape on like your shoulders or something, so when you're walking, you can be like, reflective tape. Right? Any other tips?
Try to always look for what the candy you want, like what candy you like, and just like try to snatch it before anybody else can. And if you're sneaky enough, you can grab more than one candy even though they say not to. You have to be really subtle about it, but it can work.
Yep. I have one more piece of advice and then some fun things you can do for Halloween, right? My final piece of advice is, adults who are trick-or-treating with your kid or your teenager, please wear a mask or something. It's kind of weird to be giving out candy to this kid and it was a really cool costume, and then you look at the parents and the parents are like wearing jeans. Come on, man. It's like Halloween. Embrace the holiday, right? Now, some advice for all my younger listeners is, these are the neighborhoods in Portland, Oregon that I really, really like to go to when I was trick-or-treating, right? You have the Sabin neighborhood in Northeast Portland, Alberta neighborhood in Northeast Portland, Denver Avenue in Kenton, which is in North Portland, and then Woodstock, I believe, is in Northeast, if I'm not mistaken. But those neighborhoods are the best, at least they were when I was a kid, for trick-or-treating. Be safe out there, be sure to listen to KBPS, and also follow us on Instagram at 1450kbps. My name's Jeff, and I thank you for listening.
Hi, my name is Elizabeth Rose.
And my name is Nick Otis.
And you're listening to KBPS Portland, and we are here to talk about The Addams Family. The Addams Family, specifically the 1991 movie, is a movie I really like, and Nick had never seen it before.
Yeah, growing up, I mean, I think my family liked The Addams Family, but not enough to ever, like, make me watch it. And there's certain media franchises where I just decided from a young age The Addams Family isn't for me, and I have never had any real interest in watching it, but for this podcast, I decided to watch the 1991 Addams Family for the first time.
Yeah, I really like the movie. When we were watching it, frankly, I was surprised by how little of it I remembered, because apparently I remember the Addams Family Values, the second one, a lot more, and frankly, I think it's the better one, but he hasn't seen that one yet, so
yeah,
no spoilers.
I actually walked away from the movie excited to watch the sequel, so.
Yeah, I told you. I know when we were first watching it, I love the opening scene of the carolers, and I know you had a little bit of a reaction to that one.
There's carolers, and they're pouring what looks like boiling water, acid or something, on the carolers. And for some reason, my impression of the Addams Family before were that they were kind of a nice family. You know, maybe they were weird and had these powers, but they weren't, like, evil.
They're not evil.
Okay, but they were pouring, they were hurting these carolers, apparently. Like,
you mean trespassers?
Okay, I suppose, but still.
Yeah, I always forget about the opening scene, but it's a little bit of a shocker. I know when the just cut to the carolers and you're like, is this a Christmas movie? But it's not. I think it's set at Halloween. It ends at Halloween.
Yeah.
So, technically. Also, just all the actors in it are so good. I love the guy who plays Gomez so much. Like, he's so good at Gomez. Mm-hmm. So, Nick, there's obviously a huge cast of interesting characters in the Addams Family. Did you have a favorite?
Honestly, Gomez, I thought he was just really funny.
He's so funny.
We said this during the film, but I don't think I've ever seen two people more in love with each other than Morticia and Gomez.
No, they're so into each other.
They're too much into each other,
yeah,
frankly.
Yeah, no one should be that into each other.
Don't torture yourself, Gomez. That's my job.
No, Tish.
But it's cute. Like, glad they love each other and all that. No, I know, again, you haven't seen it yet, but there is a iconic dance scene between the two of them in the Addams Family Values that I'm excited for you to see. Yeah, Gomez is so fun. He's a really funny character, I think. I love, again, in the beginning of the movie, that scene where Tully comes into the house for the first time and they get into, like, a sword fight.
Dirty pool, old man. I like it.
And Gomez is really showing off his acrobatic skills in that one.
The whole time in the movie, I was just kind of like, why is Gomez trying to kill these people? And that's what led to me kind of being like, man, they're evil constantly.
He's not trying to kill them. He's not actually going to...
He's being playful, but he's like throwing a sword at them and
stuff.
Yeah,
I think he maybe doesn't realize that the people around him aren't as talented as he is. So he thinks that he and his family could easily dodge this and doesn't realize that maybe Tully couldn't.
Yeah, they're just normal human lawyer. That was another thing, is I had the impression that they were like vampires or aliens, like something that wasn't human. They just looked human, but like something was up.
I think they're humans. They might be witches.
And yeah, or witches or something. It's unclear because they seem to have like some sort of powers. Like they're strong and they're just weird. Like they're not human, like some of the things they do. They're like, Wednesday was electrocuting her brother at one point, and like humans wouldn't survive that, obviously. There's something
Fester
up there.
Fester gets hit by lightning, and that results in him being able to light a light bulb by putting it in his mouth. Like,
yeah,
not what would actually happen. Don't get hit by lightning, folks. Like,
something is definitely up there. But I mean, frankly, I had a lot of questions going in about what the Addams Family is, you know, the characters, the world, everything. And those questions were resolved, but then I have, like, new questions
now.
Like,
not to, like, jump to the end of the movie, but at the end of the movie, Morticia reveals that she's pregnant by showing Gomez a onesie she's been knitting, but the onesie has three legs. presuming that her child is going to have three legs. Like,
well, that's just a normal thing in the Addams Family.
It is, but...
I also was, like, unsure at the start if they were, like, the only five Addams Family members.
Nah, they got a big extended family.
And, yeah, they had a big family. They did this, like, ball when... And why can't I think?
Fester was moving out.
When Fester came back.
They just did it when he moved out.
Okay. They did this big ball when Fester moved out, and they had, like, dozens and dozens of family members. And so that answered that question for me.
Yeah. I love all the extended family. Obviously, Cousin It is an iconic member of the Addams Family.
It, old man!
You're right. Far too long.
But I really like Flora and Fauna, the, like, conjoined twins.
Flora and Fauna more.
And, I think his name is Cousin Lumpy.
Why, Lumpy Addams, look at you.
The one who Wednesday is dancing with.
Mm-hmm. I also had an idea that the thing was, like, attached to a human. Like, there was, like, a guy, and that was just his hand he could detach. And then in the movie, the thing was just, like, a hand around.
Yeah, thing is just a hand in the 90s movies. It's kind of interesting, though. I'm going to go on a little bit of a tangent. So the Addams Family is based off of a comic series by Charles Addams. But throughout those comics, it introduces, you know, Lurch and Wednesday and Pugsley and all the people. But in that, thing looks a lot different. He's kind of this, like, dark lump that's around the house. Sometimes he's a hand, sometimes he's eyes. So there's, you know, he's like a creature that's kind of part of the house or lurking in the house. And then when it got adapted into a TV show in, I want to say, like, 40s, 50s, 60s, I don't remember, thing was supposed to be that whole creature, but the way they did that is by having him be a hand reaching out of a box, and you just didn't see the rest of the body. And then that got interpreted into him just being a detached hand in the 90s movie.
That makes sense. I kind of want to see some of those other, like, renditions of the Addams Family.
Yeah.
Because the next one we're going to watch, the Addams Family Values, is just a sequel to that. Mm-hmm. So it's, like, the same world and everything.
Yeah. There's quite a few. Obviously, there's the original cartoon. There's the television series. Then there's the 90s movies, which in my opinion are the best ones. There was a animated film that came out in, like, late 2010s. That's decent.
I feel like I had seen, like, a little bit of that before.
Yeah, that one's a little weird. It was my first exposure to the Addams Family, and I really liked it at the time, but I haven't rewatched it since watching the 90s movie or reading cartoons. And then the most recent, and which one's pretty popular right now, is Wednesday, that TV show.
I think because, like, culturally, I had seen a lot about Wednesday just because it's, like, a big TV show right now.
Yeah.
I kind of, like, in my head was expecting Wednesday to be a bigger part of the Addams Family.
She's not the main character.
It's very much Gomez, Morticia, and Fester. Like,
yeah, it's about the parents more.
Yeah.
I think everyone was just so taken by her. Like, her performance in it is really good.
Mm-hmm.
And she's just kind of an interesting character where she's this, like, cute little girl who's probably, like, 8 or 9, but she's, like, electrocuting her brother.
It's called Is There a God?
And saying all this creepy stuff.
Is this made from real lemons?
Yes.
I only like all natural foods and beverages, organically grown, with no preservatives. Are you sure they're real lemons?
Yes.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'll buy a cup if you buy a box of my delicious Girl Scout cookies. Do we have a deal?
Are they made from real Girl Scouts?
And so I think people were just really taken by her, so she became kind of the most iconic character from
the
franchise.
Yeah, she's definitely the person from the family that I thought of when I think of the Addams Family more than the other characters.
For sure. I really like it, though. But I think the old cartoons are really cool, and you should check them out. So we're missing a lot of the plot. We've gone off on a tangent.
Yeah, so...
Let's talk about the whole Fester thing, Gordon. I know, I remember in that first scene where they introduce Gordon when Tully comes back to his office and... I can't remember the woman's name, but the one who's pretending to be the German doctor is there with her son, Gordon.
You haven't met my son, Gordon, have you, Mr. L. Ford?
Hello. Is this the one, Mother? That deadbeat you mentioned?
And I believe what you said is, what is he?
Yeah, because again, just like the Addams Family, and I kind of thought he was one of the Addams Family at first because he was equally as weird. He like lifted up their lawyer and just kind of spun him around on a wall.
No, wait. Hold on. You have to listen to me.
Like in a non-human like way, like he had superhuman strength and was just being weird.
And he's a little weird looking too. Mm-hmm. He's got the dark circles, and it was fun knowing obviously that he was Fester and watching you kind of at the beginning be like, oh, he's an Addams, and then kind of throughout the movie getting convinced that he isn't. Mm-hmm. And at the very end, when after he does the mamushka and everyone's like, oh, he is an Addams, you're like, oh, he just decided to stay an Addams? And I'm like, no, he was the
whole
time.
Yeah, that was my initial, when he gets hit by the lightning and it like fixes his memory or whatever and he remembers he's Fester. My initial thought was, oh, because this guy then had amnesia or whatever, the Addams Family was just like, well, we need a new Fester anyway. Might as well just make this random guy Fester now and convince him he's Fester.
I feel like also Fester is a terrible name.
Yeah.
Like,
they have some just weird names. We haven't seen them yet, but didn't you say their next child's name is Pubert?
Yes, their baby in the Addams Family Values is named Pubert.
That might be one of the worst names I've ever heard, frankly, of all. It just sounds like puberty.
Apologies to any Puberts in the audience. We love you. Thank you for listening. But
maybe
you have a terrible name. No, Pugsley also isn't the best name.
Yeah, it's just a dog.
Wednesday's cute. Morticia is a good name, even though it's like Mortician.
And then Gomez is just a normal
name. Gomez is a completely normal name. That's just a name people have. Like, which I love that everyone else is kind of like a little bit out there names. Apologies if any of them are normal names that we're missing. I know people name their kids, you know, after days of the week and stuff like that, but everyone has kind of weird names, except for Gomez, which I find delightful.
There was a surprising amount of like music and kind of like choreographed scenes. I feel like that I wasn't expecting. Like,
all the fight scenes and stuff.
Yeah, all the fight scenes, and also when they're like Gomez and Fester doing the dance.
The mamushka.
The mamushka has been an Addams Family tradition since God knows when. We danced the mamushka while Nito fiddled. We danced the mamushka at Waterloo. We danced the mamushka for Jack the Ripper. And now, Fester Addams, this mamushka is for you.
The mamushka. That was really funny, but also just completely unexpected.
Yeah,
I was
definitely.
Like, I didn't think they would be doing that in the movie.
Yeah, I love all the choreographed fight scenes. I think it's so cool. Just, I love the whole movie. I think it's so funny that Tully's wife, after he gets murdered by the Addams Family.
Are they dead? Does it matter?
How she ends up getting with Cousin It. I'm stuck on Cousin It. I love Cousin It.
Cousin It is so funny.
Yeah, for sure.
Really, I think I was just completely wrong about the Addams Family before watching it. It just, like, defied my expectations of what it was going to be. I think in my head I either thought of, like, Wednesday or, like, some, like, 1960s, like, black and white, like, the TV show probably.
Yeah.
And in my head, neither of those things seemed particularly interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But the 90s movie was, like,
it was good.
Pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like
well,
the movie.
I'm excited to watch the Addams Family Values with you.
Me too.
And thank you all so much for listening. This has been Elizabeth Rose.
And I'm Nick Otis.
Talking about the Addams Family 1991 on KBPS Portland.
If you want to get a ton of candy on Halloween, you have to have a great costume.
So we're here to give you some advice. My name is Wyatt.
And my name is Zara.
Today, we'll be doing a tier list of some of the best Halloween costumes. But be warned, we might get a little sidetracked.
If you don't know what a tier list is, it's a way of ranking things based on how much you like them. S tier is the highest, and then A is right below it with B, C, you know, the alphabet. So every tier lower than A is worse.
Well, let's get into it.
Okay, starting off with a nurse's costume. I honestly think that's pretty B tier. Because, I think a nurse costume is pretty B tier. Because at that point, it's just your parents trying to force you to become a doctor. Like,
that's a good reason.
That's like a parental agenda. We don't want to push that on our children.
Yeah, you're right.
Nurse propaganda.
Okay, I'm going to go second. How about a hot dog costume. I'm going to put that in S tier.
Okay, but it depends.
Why?
I think that some hot dog costumes are poorly made. Have you been to Target? Have you been to Target? And have you, like, browsed their costume section?
Well, you have to find a good hot dog costume, or you can...
Okay, but why would you spend so much time looking for a costume to look like a hot dog?
Because that's, like, because it stands out. It's better than some boring thing like a skeleton or a ghost, because that's, like, what you expect. You don't expect to see someone in this humongous hot dog.
Well, maybe because you shouldn't be expecting it, because, like, it's not good to go as a hot dog for Halloween.
No,
you're encouraging childhood obesity. We don't want that.
Well, America's already pretty fat. So
that's true. Unhealthy eating habits. Yeah. I'd say it's a healthy B tier, below the nurse costume though, because I think
costume sucks.
No, but I think that pushing your kid to be a doctor is better than pushing them to be a hot dog vendor. Well, this, like, just inspires them to go live in New York or something. You don't want your kids to
I feel like you're
New
thinking
York.
Too much. Halloween's just Halloween.
You should think that about you, Halloween. You should.
You're
it's
saying,
a state of mind.
You're saying, like, oh, yeah, because they'll want to be a nurse when they're older. Some kids dressing up as nurses when they're 5 years old. They just want to have a fun night.
Their parent pushing it on to them. We can't have parents pushing it on to them.
What if they want to be a nurse and like, their parents...
At 5 years old? You decided your life at 5 years old? We shouldn't be pushing them to be a doctor. What if they're a bad doctor? And then they grow up and they go to medical school and they get all sad and now they're broke too? Because during Halloween, they dressed up as a nurse.
It's just supposed to be a fun night. You're not supposed to just think about what you want to be when you grow up. You're just supposed to put on a hot dog costume and get candy and then eat the candy once you're home. Like, that's what it's whole.
But a hot dog? Okay, not only that. It's so hard to walk in. Like, if you're trick-or-treating and you want to get all that extra candy, why would you go in a costume that's so hard to move around in?
Because pain is beauty.
No, not here. Pain isn't candy. We want candy, not beauty.
Yeah, but wouldn't you like to have a compliment on your hot dog costume when you
go
to the old 80s house that gives the big size chocolate?
I'd like to be complimented on a costume that, like, I can actually move around in.
Wow. Like, okay, so give me a costume that you can move around well and also looks good.
Okay. I think a nurse costume... Okay, nurse costume is ugly. But I think, like, a bunny costume or, like, a witch's costume. I think a witch's costume is super easy to move around.
A witch?
Yeah, a witch. I think that's an S-tier costume if you do it right and it's not basic.
I actually was a witch.
Oh, really?
Yeah. When I was, like, 7 years old or something like that, because my mom, like... Because she loved witches as a kid, and so she wanted me to be a witch, so...
That's interesting. I went as a witch, like, a couple years ago, like, I think in middle school or something. And I had, like, an obsession with, like, Marvel at the time. And I was watching, it was, like, during COVID, and I was watching WandaVision or whatever. Mm-hmm. And they had, like, Agatha, the witch lady. And I was like, oh, my God, my queen. And I went as her.
Mm-hmm. My, like, favorite costume I think I've ever done was, like, me, like, in seventh grade, I think. I was Garfield.
You're a Garfield?
Yeah. I got, like, the whole, like, I bought it on Amazon. It was, like, this humongous fat suit of, like, Garfield. And it's, like, and it was humongous. I remember it was rainy that day. And, like, the costume was made of, like, fur. So it was, like, really, like, soaked. And it was getting, like, muddy. And it was kind of disgusting by the end. But I did get a lot of compliments on it.
It was worth it.
It was definitely worth it.
Worth the grind. Okay, my favorite costume was, I repeated this a ton because it's, like, super easy and I didn't have ideas, mm-hmm. but I had, like, a girl face in seventh grade, and I went as Rick Astley.
Oh.
Queen, and I went around and I played Never Gonna Give You Up out of my, like, phone, and I was blasting that, like, while trick-or-treating, and they're, like, half the house would be like, oh, who are you? And I was like, Rick Astley. And
yeah, because,
like,
I'm thinking, like, how do you dress up as that? How did that work?
So I dressed up as him from the Never Gonna Give You Up video. So I had white pants. I had, like, this white and black striped shirt. And I had, like, a blazer.
Oh, okay.
And I didn't have, like, a ginger wig because I will never be a ginger. That's not in my future.
Come on.
I'll pass.
But, okay, yeah. Because it sounds like it's like a comfortable costume. It's not like something where it's a Garfield where you have to, like, put on this humongous suit and it's, like, super uncomfortable. It's, like, actually normal clothes.
No, it was so easy. The only thing is he has white skinny jeans in that. And I had to walk around in the rain in white skinny jeans. It was horrible. It was awful. Top 10 worst experience. I got a lot of candy, though, but...
Did you get a lot of compliments on it?
Okay, the people who understood it really liked it, and it was raining that day, so they're like, we haven't gotten a ton of kids, and they gave me, like, handfuls and handfuls of candy.
Yeah.
But some of them were just like, oh, That's great, sweetie.
Yeah.
Some milk dud. And that was it, but.
Yeah, I gotcha.
Cool. What are you going as this year?
Well, I'm probably going to go as a inflatable ostrich.
What?
As I did last year and the year before that.
And then, like, from the Liberty Mutual ads?
No, just an inflatable ostrich. Just the most basic.
Oh, my God.
Most basic thing. Because you can look it up on, like, Amazon. And me and my friend have been going for, like, the past two years. We've been matching in this, like, inflatable ostrich costume. And and it's really funny because, like, we go up to the door. We just knock our trick-or-treat. And, like, the person is like, oh, wow, we have some two ostriches.
Ostriches.
Yeah, the only thing that I don't like about it is because it's, like, always, it's constantly being, like, blown up because, you know, that's to have air in it. Yeah. And you throw, there's, like, a battery or whatever on, like, the side. And it's, like, a heavy thing. And it's, like, really loud. It's, like, every single time as you're walking, but you get used to it after a while. But I did get a lot of compliments on that costume.
Okay.
That's why I'm going at it again.
How do you rank that costume?
Like at a, I mean, I probably put it in S tier.
S tier?
Actually, no, I'm saying all this too much. I'll put it in A tier because it's a great costume. You get a lot of compliments out of it. It's always really funny and fun, but it's just the battery of like a tube. It's really loud and annoying.
It's a lot of work.
Yeah, and it's like it's pretty light on your body. It's just that battery. I don't like that, but that's pretty.
That's fair.
Yeah, and what are you going as?
Okay. Have you ever been to IKEA?
Yes, I have been to IKEA.
Okay, so do you know all the plushies they have? I'm going as the IKEA alien plushie.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know they sold those.
They do. It's my baby. I got these like two little mini versions of it, and I'm making earrings out of them, and I'm going to wear those as well. Huh. And I have these like little light up antenna thingies, like alien antenna. Who knows what they're called? And I got the green tinsel. It's going to be great.
Wow. Is it like...
Huh. I think that's an S tier. In fact, I think that's an S plus tier.
Are you getting matching with one of your friends?
We were going to be, and she was going to go as, like, the IKEA shark, but it was, like, out of stock when she wanted to get it, so now she's just going as something else.
Okay, well, I'm sure you guys will still have fun, right?
Figure it out, yeah. We're going to go trick-or-treating.
Well, yeah.
Well, I hope you enjoyed listening to us yap about costumes. My name is Zara.
And my name is Wyatt. And I hope all of you listening have a spooktacular Halloween.